I'm here with Alexander Mercurs, editor-in-chief of the Duran. Alexander, protests in France again. We're a little more than a year removed from when the Yellow Vests protests started over the gas hikes and the gas taxes and all that stuff that Macron wanted to initiate. And things died down for a little bit with the help of the media, the mainstream media. Macron was able to quell and to put down a lot of the protesters that were on a weekly basis, and he was able to kind of put that to rest. But here we are again, once again, as you see, when the globalists decide to get an inch, they decide to take a yard. And so Macron, realizing that he was successful in putting down the Yellow Vest protests, decided to institute some more taxes, Alexander, and some more reforms. And what do you have? More people are on the streets. So let me read you the title from Reuters. Literally a couple of hours ago, this story came out. More French protests see roads blocked, trains disrupted, and scuffles in Paris. Truckers blocked roads in about 10 regions around France on Saturday to protest against the planned reduction in tax breaks on diesel for road transport, while train and metro services remained heavily disrupted by a strike against pension reform. In Paris, there were scuffles with police in the Denfert-Rochereau area of the residential Left Bank as several hundred Yellow Vest protesters continue their weekly demonstrations, but numbers are relatively small compared with previous weeks as the transport strike made it hard to reach the capital. The combined pressure of the Yellow Vest movement over the cost of living and union protests against pension reform are a major challenge to President Emmanuel Macron's efforts to balance the state budget and introduce more environmentally friendly legislation in the second half of his mandate. So, Alexander, there you have it. All for the environment.
Well, indeed, it's always, this has become, of course, the great justification for everything. you excuse increasing burdens on people by saying, you know, that it's all being done to save the planet. I mean, the planet perhaps does need saving, but it seems that it's the poor people or and the working people who must pay. Not it seems those who are already very, very, very well off and very comfortable and who can go on living in their gilded cages and gilded homes in Paris and elsewhere. I think it's also very interesting and rather ironic, actually, that Macron is able to point to smaller protests this weekend in Paris because of this far greater protest across France, which is disrupting the transport links, so that fewer Gilets Jaunes have been able to reach Paris as a result of that. And I mean, you said that it had died down. It did die down. The Gilets Jaunes protests did die down, but they never completely stopped. They died down, or they appeared to die down, basically, essentially, for three reasons. Firstly, a total media blackout that was imposed on them, which has gone on for months and has only now started to crack as these strikes across the transport system have started to take hold and as it's become increasingly impossible to deny what is actually happening. The second is really quite ferocious police action in Paris. Now, I say that, I have acquaintances in Paris. They've described, they're not people who are, you know, have any instinctive sympathy for rioters. What they are telling me is that the vast bulk of the violence has been against the Gilets Jaunes by the police, and that this violence has been incredibly disproportionate. Thousands of people have been arrested. Thousands of people have been held in detention. And along the way, there's been indeed very, very heavy physical violence against these people who are protesting. In the face of that, it's remarkable that those protests have gone on. And the third reason, which must be said, is that Macron responded to the protests last year by boosting spending in the French economy, which caused the economy to tick upwards a little this year, which took a little of the edge off some of the protests. But the protests never really ended. As we've seen, the moment he tries to revert to his program, there's another massive surge in protests across France. And I'm hearing that upwards of 60% of the French people are now in opinion polls saying that they support these protests. I suspect, by the way, that the true number is actually higher. In France, as in all sorts of other places, the way these things are reported and surveyed is subject to a certain amount of manipulation, and there is a history of this in France. And one of the key issues is pension reform. Pension reform is a tricky issue in any country. We discussed it recently when President Putin did it in Russia, for example. But it's particularly difficult in France. There was a long history of protests against pension reforms that an earlier French government, that of Alain Juppé, tried to carry out some years ago. And that led eventually to what was in effect a general strike, and Juppé was forced to climb down. And again, I think the reason that it's proving so difficult for Macron to move ahead with his agenda is that people in France, many of whom, to be very clear, understand that things in France need to be changed, have no trust or confidence in Macron as the person to change them. Because what they see is somebody who privileges the rich and does so at the expense of the poor, or not just the poor, but the middle classes and the working people. And that's why always, when these kind of reforms take place, people come out in huge numbers and they protest. And what we're, I suspect, seeing now is a further twist in the spiral of protests that really began a year ago with the original Gilets Jaunes, yellow vest protests, and which I said, as I said, have never really gone away. There is this great reservoir of resentment, of unease, of anger in France, at the sense that the country is going nowhere, that the president of France is not really, doesn't really connect with the people of France, doesn't really concern himself with them, that he's more concerned always with working for the sophisticated people in Paris. And as I think that these protests, I said this before, these protests will continue, and they will continue to grow.
All right, so Macron never really solved the problem at
No,
hand.
no.
He just was able to shut it up for a
Yes.
temporary period of
Yes.
time. But listening to you, Alexander, it seems that the protesters and the people, I don't even want to say protesters, the people of France found a way in which the mainstream media can't ignore them and the Macron government can't ignore them, and that is by shutting down the arteries of transportation. I think you said it perfectly. Now you cannot, perform a media blackout on what's going on.
No. I mean, the scale of the thing now is just too big. And again, I mean, he's got the police and the security forces. They will do their jobs. They will try and control this thing to the extent that they can. But with every cycle, this gets bigger. And I think it will continue to get bigger because the underlying problems are unchanged. And we've spoken about Macron. We've spoken about how, he's been making all kinds of intelligent comments about NATO, about relations with Russia, about all of these things. But ultimately, aspire to be what he claims to be unless he starts to concern himself with the people of France. He doesn't actually concern himself so much with France, with the French people, with the people in what used to be called France profonde, or with the working people of France, the middle classes of France, because his aim, his objective always is to try and pursue some sort of Europeanist solution. He wants European armies, he wants European foreign policy, he wants European improvement with Russia. He wants all these things at a kind of European level. And in France, which is, to be very clear, a country where people have a deep sense of French patriotism, this isn't popular. I mean, I can't put it more simply than this. It's something that people resent deeply, and that's why they don't trust him.
Yeah, Macron is too concerned with being the emperor of Europe, that he's just not taking care of his country. And my question to you is, I've read in many publications that Marine Le Pen is making significant gains on a very local level via very local districts and getting people, into the mayor positions. And she's reorienting her party to think on a grassroots local level before it gets to the higher level, the presidential level. What does Macron need to do at this point in time in order to get things back on track? Or is he too far gone? And we are going to now see a Marine Le Pen really surge in the next couple of years and maybe through a local strategy get to a nationwide presidency. I mean,
Well,
has Macron just gone too far off
I think
the
he
track?
has. I think he has. Because what Marine Le Pen is trying to do, and let's be very clear. I mean, whatever your views about Marine Le Pen, she is rooted in France. I mean, she is a politician who is rooted in France, and she is working hard to try to build for herself a electoral base in France. That's what all this localism, all these attempts to win votes for mayors and all these sort of things. That's what that's all about. It's about building constructing the building blocks for a big movement that will work for her come the next presidential election. Macron doesn't think in those terms. That isn't what he's about at all. Macron is, as I said, he's a remote figure in Paris. He rose meteorically, incredibly fast, as a result of the blessings and, to be very clear, the manipulations of the French elites in Paris. He's not somebody to do the hard work of trying to build a mass organization in the country. He doesn't know how to do it. And given, as I said, that he is a Europeanist, he's not really interested in doing that. That sort of thing bores him. He doesn't care who's the mayor in a little town in the Vendée or in Grenoble or things. I mean, he's got far too great things on his mind, like European armies and rapprochement with Russia. I mean, that's his style of thing. So I mean, he doesn't have that ability. And obviously, here come the next presidential election. He may suffer for it, but I'm sure he will. I mean, can I say something? I mean, one of the things that Macron has recently been trying to do is he's been trying to sort of resurrect de Gaulle and has been trying to project himself as a sort of new de Gaulle and argue that he's pursuing some of the same policies as de Gaulle did. The differences between Macron and de Gaulle are profound because de Gaulle, first and foremost, was a French nationalist. He stood up for France. He was somebody who continuously vetoed integrationist decisions that were then being promoted within what was at that time the European Economic Community, the ancestor of today's EU. He was opposed to ideas like a European army. He took France out of the military structure of NATO because he didn't want the French military to be subordinated to other militaries or to some other great organization. He also was rooted in France. Macron is not rooted in France. So he may be, talking some of the same talk as de Gaulle did when de Gaulle talked about, better relations with Russia and about a Europe from, the Atlantic to the Urals. That was sort of de Gaulle's talk. But de Gaulle spoke of those things as the leader of France. He spoke as the leader of France addressing another nation, Russia, which, by the way, he always insisted on calling Russia. De Gaulle never, avoided always talking about the Soviet Union. He always liked to talk about Russia. So again, it shows the extent to which Macron misunderstands things. He doesn't really understand. He doesn't really know what he's doing. He's one of these clever men who's wrong about everything. And this is a good example because, as I said, he doesn't know how to build a stable electoral base. He doesn't know how to pursue policies that will attract the French people. He doesn't know how to talk to the French people in a way that they will relate to. And his European policies, his Europeanist policies, which have antagonized many people in Europe, won't work because they're not built on a strong base.
All right, Alexander, how is the French economy to close it out? How are things looking? Does France need to go through certain reforms?
Oh,
Are
yes.
these protests going to end? Is there a way to go through these reforms and not have these protests? Give us a big picture view as to what
Well,
needs to be done and what's going
I
on
mean,
right now in France.
France is a very overburdened, very overtaxed, very overregulated country. I mean, I know you will find people like Paul Krugman who argue the opposite, but that is the truth. I mean, its economy has been ticking along, and not doing especially well. But I'm going to say what I think the underlying problem of the French economy is, and the reason why growth in France has been slow and is and the French economy has not been doing as dynamically as it once did. I mean, you talk about you when you speak to French people, they talk to you about the 30 glorious years that followed the end of the 70, the end of the Second World War, when the French economy grew incredibly fast and gave people lots of jobs and living standards improved and France was transformed. The big difference then and the big difference now is that France had its own currency. It had its own currency, which was the franc. And that was a currency that was able to move around within a global system. What then started to happen was that in the late 70s, the French aligned their currency with the Deutsche Mark as part of the long-term preparation for monetary union. And eventually, what happened, as we know, is that the French currency, the franc, created all the way back, by the way, at the time of the French Revolution, was done away with and was absorbed into the euro. And France is as much the victim of the monetary straitjacket this has created, which benefits overwhelmingly Germany at the expense of all sorts of other states. France is as much the victim of that as other countries like Italy is. If France really wants to start growing fast again, and if you know France well, it has all the potential for it. It's got highly educated people. It's got some very, very advanced industries, a high tradition of technology, an enormous scientific base. France wants to really start powering ahead again, as it could do. Then, as I said, it has to address the problem of the euro. And this is a problem which no French politicians and the French elite won't allow you to talk about. It's a sort of forbidden subject in France. So the result is that, you know, you have a France which, like so much of the rest of Europe, is locked into permanent stagnation.
And the protests?
Oh, well, I mean, the protests will grow because, as I said, if you have a situation like the one I said, in which you can't really adjust the economic system, all you can do, the only way that the elites know to make it more competitive is to try to take away, strip away rights of, in effect, to suppress wages, to make people poorer. That's the only real solution they have. What is called internal devaluation. That's what you sometimes hear.
Austerity.
Austerity. As an unending, unending austerity. You will always get that if you have an economy that is made permanently uncompetitive because of the way it's locked into the currency system. And of course, protests grow, dissatisfaction grows. If you're not allowed to discuss this, those protests will grow even further. And as I said, if you start replacing the French flag with the European flag, if you start doing all those sorts of things, you know, absorb the French army into a European army in a country which invented practically the modern idea of nationalism. And that's what the French Revolution was all about. I mean, it was the French Republic because it was something that was created by the French nation. People tend to forget this, but France is in a way the birthplace of nationalism, of democracy, of republicanism, and of democratic nationalism. If you take that away, then of course you will get ever slower economies, ever greater dissatisfaction, and ever more protests, until eventually, sooner or later, something will give and the whole thing will break down. I mean, that may take a while because, as I said, the elite in Paris is so resistant to change. I mean, we've seen how resistant the establishment in Britain was when it came to Brexit. The establishment in France is of an even greater order of stubbornness in adhering to this project. But sooner or later, something will give.
All right. Alexander Mercurius, editor-in-chief of The Durant, thank you very much. Guys, if you like this video, click on that subscribe button, hit that like button, share the channel with everybody you know. Find us on iTunes and on SoundCloud to get an audio copy of this video as well. And please donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. Your donation helps keep this channel up and running. Check us out on BitChute and on Duran Video, duranvideo.com. That is our own video platform. And BitChute is the free speech platform. We post every video we do on those two sites as well. And we post everything we do on Telegram, which is the app of free speech. So download Telegram and subscribe to the Duran channel. It is the Duran.com. You'll find it. So subscribe there and you'll be up to date with everything that's going on at the Duran, including specials and discounts. DRN20 Alexander gets you 20% off anything from the Duran shop, including magic mugs and magic shirts.
Absolutely. Anything includes magnificent mugs like this, this amazing Duran mug, which we both have the same mug. This is not, by the way, pre-planned. It just happened. We both decided today that we'd have our, well, I think Alex drinks coffee, I drink tea, from the same mug. But you can see what a magnificent mug it is. I mean, I've spoken many times about our mugs, but again, look how well it balances. I've just refilled it, by the way, so it's about two-thirds full. But you can see how easily it balances because it's extremely light. It's very strong. That's a sign that it's a beautiful porcelain body. When you own one mug like this, you will understand immediately what a high quality item this is. And it's a big mug. As I said, 15 ounces, you can have an awful lot of tea there. I mean, I should know. I drink tea all the time. So, I mean, I have to refill my mug far less since I've had my Duran mug. And this particular mug has the emblem of Russia's elite special forces unit, which is the Alpha Force. You can see it's a, as I said, they're warriors. So you can see the sword and the shield. And the two grains of wheat, which is a very common thing in Russia, the grains of wheat for the military, because it's a sign of, you know, the motherland, the Russian motherland. And there you can see the alpha. You can see the alpha for Alpha Force, which means it's their, you know, their elite unit who've done amazing things. But you know, we have lots of other mugs. You've got mugs like this one with Sergei Lavrov, who is the Russian foreign minister, who embodies realist thinking in foreign policy, genuine realist thinking in foreign policy, and the proper conduct of diplomacy. And you know, that's why we have him in our mugs. And you know, and we've got lots of other mugs. We've got phenomenal mugs. Alex has been expanding our range all the time, and not just mugs, as he rightly says, but shirts too, like this great polo neck shirt that I'm wearing, which is superbly comfortable because it's so well made. It's 100% cotton. Shirts that are well made and are really comfortable are because their quality is so high. You can always tell a good quality shirt from how well it fits and how well it wears. If you feel uncomfortable in a shirt, it's a sign that it's not a good shirt. These shirts feel very comfortable and they keep you warm in winter and cool in summer. So that gives you an idea of how good they are. And we've got polo shirts and we've got other sorts of shirts. We've got short sleeve t-shirts, we've got long sleeve t-shirts for especially when you're on the outdoors. I often wear them in the outdoors, my long sleeve shirt on the outdoors. You've got V-neck shirts, you've got hoodies, you've got hats, you've got stickers, all of them, as I said, of exceptional quality. And this is Christmas time, it's the time when one likes to buy things. So you've got this great opportunity. You can help the Duran. You can also help yourself by owning these wonderful things. And you can help your family and friends by buying them these great things for Christmas. So what's holding you back? DRN20 is the code for your discounts, as Alex will no doubt remind you. Come to our shop, come to the Duran, help us out, help yourself out. Alex will tell you how.
Yep, DRN20 on the checkout page. You'll see the little coupon box. Just put that DRN20 right there and you'll get 20% off anything you buy from the Duran shop.com. Alexander Mercurius, editor in chief of the Duran, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.